We'll return to John chapter 7 this evening. Pick up where we left off this morning. Not much left here to cover. It's possible we might get into the next passage that I had intended on preaching this evening, originally. If not, we'll get to that next Sunday morning, Lord willing. But John chapter 7, let's just go ahead and read this passage again. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart thence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is alway ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto the feast. I go not up yet unto the feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, Where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, He is a good man. Others said, Nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. We were looking this morning at some different facts related to trouble that we come into, how to deal with trouble and where trouble comes from sometimes. This obviously is not the only passage in Scripture that teaches us these truths. But we saw this morning in verse 1 that Jesus did not go seeking trouble. He didn't go looking for trouble. And you and I ought not do that either. There will be plenty that comes our way. We saw that sometimes a lot of the trouble that we have to deal with comes from those closest to us and those who doubt. You see, his brethren did not believe. It says there in verse 5, For neither did his brethren believe in him. They didn't believe. And so they were a source of trouble. They would not believe until after the resurrection. But Jesus, rather than doing what his brethren wanted him to do, rather than doing what the people around him told him that he ought to do, Jesus sought only to do the will of God. You and I are to be the same. You and I are to do the things that God wants us to do. We are to seek to please God. And you'll find that as you seek to please God, that others who are trying to please God will be pleased with your life. And those who are not pleased with your life are those who aren't seeking to please God. We will find that as we serve Him. But Jesus said, as we looked this morning in chapter 6 and verse 38, that He came to do the will of Him, that He said that He came to do the will of Him that had sent Him, and that was the Father. Man does what pleases his own flesh. Turn with me to James chapter 4. Christ sought to do what God wanted him to do. Man, in his natural state, seeks to do the things of the flesh. And then what happens whenever we seek to do the things of the flesh? We just find problems. James chapter 4. Verses 1 through 3, From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Why do you not get along, James says. Why is it that you have a hard time getting along with other people? Why is there trouble between you and other people? Maybe it's other people in the church. Maybe it's people at work. Maybe it's people at school or neighbors. Or what? Why is it that we have a hard time getting along sometimes? Well, sometimes, as we have already seen, it's because of what we stand for, and then other times it's our fault. Remember this morning we mentioned there'll be enough troubles. Don't go out looking for more. There'll be plenty. We have to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. But oftentimes there are problems in our lives that come from the people around us, and then sometimes they come from us. Because we do what the flesh wants to do. It says right here, From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? I believe this is speaking mainly of the brethren, but this can also be the case anywhere that we go. We have a hard time getting along with people because we want what we want. And then he says in verse 2, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, ye war and can, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. This is what man in his natural state does. He wants what pleases the flesh. Christ, however, did what pleased the Father. You and I are to seek what pleases God. We're to seek what God would have us to do. We're to look at God's Word and say, what does it tell me to do here? What things please Him? What things displease Him? So that I can avoid those things and make sure that I do not have those things in my life. So we don't look for trouble. Sometimes it comes from those around us. Sometimes it comes because we don't do what the Word says to do. We bring it upon ourselves. And then sometimes those troubles come simply from what we believe. Back in John, if you look at verse 7, he says, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. You see, the world sure acts like it hates Christians. But when you get right down to it, it's not so much us that they hate. It's the message that we preach. We're persecuted because of who we follow. We're persecuted because of who we preach. We're persecuted because... This isn't your truth. You didn't write this, so how could they hate you? How could they hate me? We're hated for His sake, He tells us. Elsewhere in Scripture, we're told that the reason that we are hated is because of who we follow. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, this is another one of those passages that I mentioned this morning that I've been quoting a lot here lately, but we haven't read it for a while, so let's read it. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And beginning in verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. We're told to turn away from those who would do these things. Now, if you are, every one of these things is contrary to how God tells a born-again believer to live their life. So why wouldn't we have conflict? Why wouldn't we have trouble whenever we're trying to live the exact opposite of what's listed here? For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystrum, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Why? Because we live in a fallen, sinful world. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Not that there will be more evil men and seducers today than there were back then, but they will wax worse and worse. Okay, what does that mean? Well, the heart of man is just as sinful as it's always been. What we see happening as every year goes by is we just see less and less restraint and people acting on more and more and more and more of the sinful thoughts and desires of their heart. I mean, come on, they've always been there. What do people do today? They kill. They killed in the Bible. They didn't have natural affection. They don't have natural affection now. All of these things that we just read, all these things that were just listed there that Paul wrote unto Timothy, they were present then, they're present now. We just see more and more people doing it. They're waxing worse and worse. More people are doing it. They're doing it to more of an extreme. They have less and less reserve about what they do. And then you go out as sheep among wolves and try to live for Christ. There's going to be some conflict. There's going to be some problems. Heaven forbid that a general, a captain, prepare his troops for battle and not tell them the dangers of war, not tell them what they're going to come up against, not tell them how bad it's going to be, not tell them that there are going to be problems out there. But then what do they do once they tell them, hey, these are the risks that are out there? What do? They properly train them so that they can meet those risks, so that they can meet those battles. Shame on anyone who makes it look like the Christian life has no problems. We have to point out and we have to proclaim that yes, there are problems and troubles out there, but God tells us how to deal with them. Tells us what to do in those situations. Tells us what to do in those cases. Christian life is absolutely a life of joy and a life of peace that comes from the Father, but we don't always have peace with those around us because we live in a sinful world. But God tells us how to deal with that. And we saw a lot of that this morning. James chapter 1, if you go there one more time with me to James chapter 1. When problems come from what we believe, maybe there are times when we think about giving up what we believe. Maybe there would be times where we think about going back. Maybe we would look at the world as David did in some of his Psalms and say, well, they don't look like they've got trouble. They don't look like they have any problems. They don't look like there's anything bothering them. But Scripture makes it clear that their end is destruction, that the wrath of God abides on them. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Boy, I'm tempted to go back. I'm tempted to change my mind. I'm tempted to just sit back and not do anything and let the days roll by, and this is just getting tough. Christ warned us it would. This is no time to give up. We have to endure these temptations. Look at Luke chapter 12. Problems come from people that are close to us. Problems come from what we believe. We're going to be in battles because of what we believe. And it's no longer just a battle between us and the lost. Now it's a battle between us and other people who profess to be Christians. But the Bible warned us of that too, that there would be false prophets. We read that this morning. That it's not just us and the lost. Now it's us and even some who claim to be believers. False prophets and people teaching false doctrines. Luke chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. Wouldn't that be a terrible state to be in? Wouldn't that be an awful, awful, awful situation? How would you feel if one of your children denied you? How would you feel if one of your children said, I don't know who that is. That's not my mom. That's not my dad. I mean, beyond just kids being embarrassed sometimes. Come on, I think I'm pretty good at embarrassing my children. Sometimes I work at it pretty hard. You can't embarrass Alex, though. He embarrasses us sometimes. You can't embarrass Alex. If there was ever a kid that just rolls with the punches, it was Alex. The easiest one to embarrass? Colin. Just like that. Poor kid. Alex and I kind of gang up on him sometimes. He's good, though. He handles it. But I'm not talking about just, you know, being embarrassed by mom and dad once in a while and just being, you know, that's part of growing up. Mom and dad are going to embarrass you sometimes. They're old. They come from a different school. They come from a different time period. Amy and I will sit around sometimes and get to talking about things that were popular when we were kids, and you just sometimes see that look on their faces. It really wasn't all that long ago, but I guess we did the same things when our parents did that. But look, this has never happened to us. I hope it's never happened to you, but beyond just your kids being embarrassed, what if your child claim to not even know who you were? What if your child didn't want people to know that you were their parents? Whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. I don't know why. I don't know why someone with good parents would be ashamed of those parents or embarrassed of those parents. I can understand if your parents were no good. I don't understand being ashamed or embarrassed of your parents if they were good parents. I don't get it. I definitely don't understand why we would be ashamed of our Savior. Perfect and holy, pure and just, gave his life for us and took our sin. We're not going to hell now because of him. We're going to spend eternity in heaven. Makes the sun to shine down upon us and makes the trees grow and gives us air to breathe and gave us a Bible so we'd know how to be saved and how to live for him, and gave us a good church and gave us good people around us and gives us jobs and strength to do those jobs and meets our needs and puts clothes on our backs and feeds us, and shall I go on? But some people are ashamed to speak his name. Some problems come because of the people around us. Some problems come because of we bring them on ourselves because of our lust. And some problems come because of what we believe. And then some problems come because of what we believe, and then we're afraid to stand up for what we believe. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I wouldn't want to belong to a religion. I wouldn't want to belong to a belief, a faith, or any whatever you want to call it. I wouldn't want to belong to one that was looked upon favorably by the world. I wouldn't want to. That would be a red flag to me. Why is it that so many people don't have a problem with that belief and that belief? And that I wouldn't want it. There's a problem there. There's a problem when people are trying to tell us that Islam is peaceful when they know that they kill people who don't believe the way that they believe. There's a problem there. There is a problem when people glorify the Catholic Church when it's nothing but damnable heresies, as the Bible says, and control over people, and people are miserable. There's a problem there. We preach Jesus Christ. We preach the love of God. And people have a problem with us. I've said for a long time, and I'll continue to say it, that's just one more proof that this is truth. That's just one more proof that this is the Word of God because of how hated it is. You think about some of the books that have been written in history. And I've said this before. They don't hate Mein Kampf the way they hate this book. You think about Mein Kampf, written by Adolf Hitler, and what that man did, and that book lays out his, basically his plan or his philosophy on world domination, and they don't hate that book the way they hate God's Word. By the way, Sister Penny was telling me that there's been a resurgence in the popularity of the book Mein Kampf, that more and more people are starting to read that book again. If you look at John chapter 15, we have problems because of what we believe. Verse 18, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Can we just let that sink in for a minute? A couple of things there. The world hates us because of what we believe, because of who we follow, because of Jesus Christ. Okay, but let this sink in. Jesus said that if we were one of them, the world wouldn't hate us. Does that not flip on a light? Does that not make you step back and say, you know, there are a lot of people out there that claim to be Christians, and the world loves them. There are a lot of people who claim to be followers of Christ, and the world loves them. Jesus said that if we were of the world, then the world wouldn't hate us. If we were of the world would love his own. I mean, do you not think there's a problem when someone like Alice Cooper claims to be a Christian? Wasn't he the man that bit snakes' heads off when he was Ozzy Osbourne? He bit the snakes' heads off? Bats? It's disgusting either way. Well, Alice Cooper is the one, though, that claims to be a born-again Christian. Alice Cooper is the one that claims to be an ordained Christian. Minister. Well, he probably is an ordained minister of something, but it's not the Word of God. Alice Cooper has for years claimed that he's just like Ozzy Osbourne, those guys, all that heavy metal filth, garbage. There is a problem when someone says, oh, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and the world loves you. This scripture right here, Christ told us that if we were of the world would love us. Verse 20. Well, verse 19. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. See, it's because of who we follow. It's because of what we believe. It's because of who we love. It's because of who we serve. It's because of who saved us. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. See, what makes us think that we're not going to face these things? If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. They know not him that sent me, is what Jesus said. We have problems because of people around us sometimes. And we understand that that's not always the case. We understand that sometimes we have family members that are saved. We have family members who love God. Some of you are related. Okay, there are parents with their children here. There are brothers and sisters and in-laws. And I'm talking of the flesh. We're all brothers and sisters in here, but talking of the flesh. We understand that sometimes there are people in our families who believe and we don't have those problems. But Christ had those problems with people in his family that didn't believe. So we have problems that come from people who don't believe. We have problems that come from us getting into the flesh. And then we have problems that come simply because we follow the Savior, because we follow Jesus Christ. One more thing I want to look at this evening in chapter 7 and verse 13. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. The Jews had such oppression going on there that the people were afraid to say anything. And I realize that we want to be careful because we weren't in their shoes and we've never been in their shoes. But let's look at this. Is it not true that sometimes God's people are afraid to speak up because of what people around them would say? We don't live under an oppressive government. We have freedoms here that a lot of people don't have. Yeah, if we go out there and preach on a street corner, there might be some people that don't like it. They might call the cops. They might try to shut us down. We have a legal right to do it, though. When we go out and put these invites on people's doors, a lot of countries don't have that. Did you know that in France, unless they've changed it, in France, they have these little mail slots. Like they have these gates in front of their houses and they have these little mail slots. And you can put anything you want in those mail slots all day long, any literature you want. You can't do that here. Remember, don't ever put a track or anything in somebody's mailbox. It's a federal offense. If it's not mail, you can't put it in there. But they will, you can in France put whatever you want. Had a French missionary tell me that. You can put whatever you want in there. You say, oh, that'd be nice. Nah, they can have that because you know what you can't do there? You can't just stand out on the corner and pass out your literature. You can't do the types of things in public. You can put things in people's mail slots as you walk by, but out in public they repress those things. We don't have to face a lot of the things that these people faced, and this religious, the Pharisees, were keeping these people under their thumbs, and some people were so afraid because of the power that they had, they were afraid to offend them. And it says, howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. We don't live there, folks. We have the freedom. We have the ability. We've had it too good for too long. Look at what it's done to us. Some people are afraid to speak of Jesus because of what others might say or do. They were afraid because of this oppressive government. We don't have that. What is it that sometimes keeps us from telling people about Jesus Christ or proclaiming Jesus Christ? Well, it's not an oppressive government. It's not a gun barrel pointed in our direction. Although I will say this, in a lot of countries where they do have that, the gospel flourishes like it doesn't here in the States. And the faith is a lot stronger than what it is here in the States. What is it that stops us? Is there a fear? If so, who are we afraid of? We don't go looking for trouble. We don't tempt God. We know that troubles are going to come. Sometimes they come from the people closest to us. Sometimes it's because of us. Sometimes it's simply because of what we believe. They hate God, and so they hate God's people. But again, it isn't, we didn't write the word. Christ said it was for His sake. So there are all these troubles that are going to be there no matter what. There are all these troubles that we're not going to be able to avoid, and we're just going to have to face them with Christ, and we're going to have to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. We're going to have to be biblical in all of our decisions. But sometimes we let the world trouble us. Sometimes we, like these people, are afraid to speak because of the people around us. We're afraid to speak openly. Isn't it something that in a country where we have more freedom than most other countries on the face of this earth, and there are a lot of Christians who act like it's a covert operation, got to be hush-hush about it, got to be quiet about it. Too often we allow the people around us to trouble us into silence. There's a preacher by the name of John Getch, and he said one time, silence is golden unless you're talking about witnessing, and then it's just plain yellow. We have an opportunity, we have freedoms that God has blessed us with, and we've taken them for granted, and we've kind of rested back, kind of leaned back, let ourselves get just so used to these, to how easy it is. We have allowed the people around us to keep us quiet. We're worried about what man thinks. Well, I won't stand before man one day. Man will not grant me a crown. Man will not withhold a crown from me. Man will not tell me if I've done well or not. It'll just be me and Christ. Now, I know I'm getting in. I'm saved. That's taken care of. But I would like to hear, well done, wouldn't you? Wouldn't it be nice to know we didn't waste all of our time? Come on. How many, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you could say like me, I've wasted a lot of years? And now I'm not even talking before you got saved, after you got saved. How many years have you wasted since you've been saved? Maybe if we added them up. Let's not do that. Wouldn't it be nice to go home? I'm going to quote Brother Getch one more time. He said, I know we're going to be given robes of white, but if you would indulge this thought, wouldn't it be nice to have some dirt on us? Wouldn't it be nice to have some battle stains, some battle scars? Wouldn't it be nice to see, hey, we've been in the battle. We've been in the fight. He told a story about a boy on the football team when he played football who never would get in the game. He wanted to get in the game, but they just never let him play. I don't know what it was. Maybe he was, I didn't play football. I played basketball, but I wasn't very good at it. Maybe he was like me and they were afraid he'd run the wrong way and score in the wrong person's basket, or I don't know. But he didn't get to play. And he said they would sit on the bench during the game and he would look down at this boy who never got to play, and he would spend some time during the game getting grass and dirt and rubbing them into his pants, into his uniform. And he'd just grind that dirt in there and he'd put, rub it, get grass stains on his uniform. Why? Well, if he wasn't going to get in the game, he at least wanted it to look like he'd been out there. He wanted to be in the game so bad and they wouldn't put him in, but he wanted it to look like he'd been out there. You got a whole team that's dirty and muddy and been out there fighting. You don't want to be the one standing there all clean, like you didn't have a part in it. He wanted to at least look like he had a part in it. Wouldn't it be nice to have a little dirt on us? Wouldn't it be nice to show we've been in the battle? Wouldn't it be nice to show we've been in the fight? Wouldn't it be nice to show we've done something? Hey, that's not going to happen if we're worried about what people are saying around us and we're worried about how people are going to be receptive of the word or not, if we're worried about what everybody's going to say. Come on, we got enough problems that come our way. Let's not add to them by being afraid to stand up for the gospel, by being afraid to proclaim God's word. There are enough problems that come this way, come our way. We don't need to add to them by being afraid to speak up for the one who saved us. How do you view the persecution that comes your way as a child of God? Is it with joy or is it with remorse? How do we view persecution and problems with joy? Well, when we look at them and say, I'm being persecuted because I'm living for Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to do, is live for Jesus Christ. Or is it remorse? Do we fear what others say? Do we fear what those around us are going to say, whether it's family or co-workers or neighbors or classmates? What is our concern? How are we going to face these troubles? Well, let's read just a couple more verses and we'll be done. Matthew 28 will be the first one. All right, we've spent the day pointing out the fact that there are going to be troubles, there are going to be problems, it's going to get hard. There are going to be things that we're going to come up against, and all these reasons why. We've learned from Christ not to go looking for trouble. Trouble's going to find us, but we don't run from it whenever it does find us. We don't keep our mouths closed and we're afraid to tell people about Jesus. We're afraid to tell people the truth. Matthew 28. Well, how am I going to face these troubles? If they're coming, if the persecution's coming, how am I going to do it? Matthew 28 and verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You know, if you carry a weapon, let's say you carry a firearm, you carry a knife or something, you know, a bomb or whatever it is you carry. If you leave home and forget it, or you leave home, let's say you carry a firearm, you leave home and it's empty, and you find that you need it, you're going to be in trouble, aren't you? What I needed, I left at home. I forgot it. Listen, what we need in this battle is Jesus Christ, and He said He'd be with us all the time. He would be with us all the time. There won't be any turning around, where's my weapon, and it's not there. He's with us all the time. Turn to Hebrews 13. This will be the last thing we look at. Hebrews 13. Just end it with this. Let your conversation be without... Or verse 5, I'm sorry. Hebrews 13, 5. You like it when I tell you the verse, don't you? Hebrews 13, 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We don't go looking for trouble, but it's going to be there. When we find it,
We don't run from it, but we don't face it in our own strength. We don't face it in our own flesh. We face it in the power, the strength, and the might of Almighty God. We let Him fight that battle. Let's pray and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, this evening, as we have looked at Your Word today and learned these truths about how to deal with problems that come into our lives and troubles and where they come from, Lord, I pray that You'd help us to be bolder than ever, that we would stand upon Your Word, on the promises that You've given us, that we would proclaim Your Word, we would not worry about what man says, that we would be wise as serpents but harmless as doves, that we would not look for trouble but that we would not run from it when it comes our way. Lord, I pray that You'd give us the peace and the strength that we need, and You'd help us to be the soldiers that You'd have us to be. Lord, I pray that Your hand would be upon this church and all that we do, every decision that we make. Help us to just endeavor to live for You. Be with us now as we go our separate ways. But help us, Lord, to continue to spread the gospel. Bring us back again to learn more of You and to draw closer to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.